78.
Okay, everybody's got their money in.
A
okay.
godly heritage.
Here's the last button.
Psalm 78, beginning with verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching.
All right,
Hallelujah.
Now I want each
listen
one
to
of
the
you,
words of my mouth. I will open my mouth
in
78. I will utter
buddies.
Hidden things, things from
backpack.
Of old.
We've got
what we have heard and known, what our fathers have
the
told
world
us.
Backpack.
We will not hide them
you
from
put this on
their
your
children.
Back, you can put your books in it.
We will tell the
so
next
you
generation
whatever you'd
the
like
praiseworthy
to have.
Deeds
of
the Lord,
something.
His power, and the wonders he has done.
And then I want you to tell me why you chose that one.
He decreed okay. statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children.
Okay.
So the next generation would know them.
That one's yours.
Even
why
the children
do you like that one?
Yet to be born. And they in
all
turn
right,
would tell their children.
Buddy's funny face on.
Then they would put their trust
okay,
in God
go.
And would
yours.
Not forget his deeds,
buttons?
But would keep his
okay.
commands.
Okay.
Let's pray.
This
Lord,
week,
thank
our
you
button
for this
is
word.
From Tanzania, and it has
it's
a
something
lion
that is
on
sobering,
it.
Is something that
so make sure you
we
get your
do
button.
Not speak of lightly.
And which prize do you want?
The responsibility of raising children
there's
to know you, to be
these
aware of your commands, your love,
buddies.
Your generosities. It falls upon us as parents. It certainly falls
oh,
upon
these
us
are
as
big
grandparents
decisions.
As well. But Lord, as a body of believers,
which one
it
do
is
you want?
So important. That we take that responsibility as our own.
Okay, I'm going to count
whether
to three.
Whether
a
child
grab
is
what
ours
you want, okay? One,
or not,
two,
specifically
three.
That family
okay,
relationship,
you got what you want. How about it,
know
girls?
We the responsibility of what it is to teach
which
children
one do you want?
The truth. We take that mantle, we take that
all
responsibility
right, buddies.
Seriously.
And how about
and
you,
pray,
young
Lord,
man?
As we
you
open
want
our
buddy,
hearts
too.
To your word of
okay.
truth, we will be encouraged
now,
to
I know
work,
that there have been some parents and
that
grandparents out here
well.
That have been.
That
putting
we will do
in
our
their
best
offerings
to not represent
for the kids
a church that
every
has
week.
Hypocrisy,
careful, don't
but
fall,
a church
sweetheart.
That is living on truth and love.
But I want to thank you, each one of you. Can I shake your hand?
Ones
thank
that
you.
Can be looked to from our children
thank
to say,
you.
Now there is a believer.
Thank
that's
you.
What it's all
and
about.
Thank you. And thank you.
May we take
you
that
have
responsibility
made this
to heart.
Time such
Lord,
a pleasure
help me to speak
for me.
Words
that we're going to do it again
I
in
might
the fall.
Be challenged, that we all
and
might
we've
be
got
challenged
a new set of buttons.
To share a godly
so
heritage.
Be sure you keep your lanyards, and if you
we
need a new
this
one,
in
let
Jesus
me
name.
Know if you've
Amen.
Lost it. And then we're going to start over with a new set of buttons
I realize
in the fall.
In some ways,
okay?
There has
all right,
been
God
discussion
bless you,
over
grandparents,
the past
those of you
years
who've
and
been
centuries even,
supporting,
that
if you'd like
there
to
are those within our communities that will say, I'm not going to go
sure
to church because
button.
There's so many hypocrites there. Have you ever heard
okay.
that before? And my response in a very lighthearted manner, not meaning to be judgmental by any means,
all
my,
right.
my heart response is to
I
say,
to
you
tell
know
you
the reason
I've had
why
so much fun
that there's
this, and I hope
so
that
many
you
imperfections
too,
in the church,
such a blessing
and the response
for me
is usually,
to be able
why
to
is
work
that? And I'll say, because there's people there.
And have their heart
right?
be
I mean,
for
the,
those
the fact of the matter is there's no one in this place that's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes.
And we're thankful for the stand he takes for God.
The power of
Amen.
God helps us to love
and I know that he has been
the power
a,
of God
a,
helps us to recognize
a son
our mistakes,
and
own up
a
to
brother
them,
and a friend
and
to
forgiveness
all of you
when
as
those,
well.
When those things
and
are necessary.
I appreciate you so
and
much,
and still represent Christ
all
well,
that you have
even
done for
in
this
the
church.
Midst of an imperfect
and
world.
We're going to miss you.
And I believe that we can
go to
share
a college
the
somewhere.
Heritage of a godly
and if it's the Lord's will for you to just hang around here, we're okay with that.
We can be able to share
Amen.
A Sunday school.
But we have
a,
just a card
that, we are
that
entrusted
maybe
with.
Isn't
and
a whole lot.
Open
it just says thank you and how we feel about you.
And
a brand new Thompson chain leather
this
bonded Bible with your name on it.
In my life.
And
you
pray that this will
that
be something
boy, that
you
girl,
can use for your entire life.
Honor and respect you for your honesty.
When I graduated in 1988.
But then to overcome the challenges and the temptations and still live in such a way where you can say, you know what, I
just
struggle
a few years
with
ago,
talking about people
my grandparents
when
gave me
and
a Thompson chain
gossip,
reference.
And God says that's
and
sin. I'm
to
working
day,
on that,
I have
and
it
I'm going to do my best
it's fallen apart
a
little bit
because
it's been so used and abused. And I shouldn't say abused. That sounds terrible.
Bring the children in.
But it's still
help
sitting on my desk because it's so
progress,
special to me. And I hope that this Bible can be as special to
it
you
may not
as
be
mine
that
is
issue.
To me.
It may be something
as
else. And sometimes the things that the we
Lord.
Face are maybe a little more personal and
say?
We can't share those with the young people. But let me tell you something. The greatest hindrance
how many
of
want him to say at least something?
To follow Christ is
well, I think that's
got to
be majority. Come on.
I don't know.
It's the truth of the gospel being lived by the people that claim it.
Okay. There you go. That's good. Would you stand with me? Let's pray a special blessing. This is a special day for Sean Daniel as he's preparing for graduation.
We need to show the love of God in all.
Let's just pray for God's blessing, shall we? Lord God, we're thankful for all that Sean Daniel has been to us. For me and Tina both, it's just been a joy. And we've only been here a short time. I know that the impact you've had on this family is so much more than what we've even experienced. And Lord, I just pray your continued blessing, that you'll lead and guide his steps, guide him through life's journeys as they come upon him and as he walks in faith.
And as we talk
about your anointing, your blessing, your protection,
and
your guidance in Jesus'
name. For us to realize that it's more than just the words we say.
Love you, man.
It's by the very actions of what we do. It's those moments when you're out there in the Quonset working on a machine and it doesn't really want to work the way you want to, and you hit your hand with a hammer or you somehow, as you're wrenching on that, and it slips and you smash your knuckles. It's that moment that the children are watching and they're wondering, what's Grandpa going to say? What's Dad going to do now? Or maybe it's when the neighbor sneaks along into your farm and he gasses up when you're at church, knowing that you're gone, and he fills his tank time and time again, and you're always suspicious, but you can't prove it until you get a fresh snow. And then Dad walks out to the vehicle, gets in, and follows the tracks back to the other farm. It's those moments that you're called upon to represent Christ well. I was angry with my dad. Why didn't you call the cops? I was a teenager. Teenagers know everything. That was a crime. That was stealing. And I know that my dad had every right to call the cops and get him in major trouble, and we had the proof. And Dad says, no, I just wanted him to know I was aware of it and I forgave him. I remember going out to eat in Daisy Cafe, which was open and closed, and then open and closed, and open and closed. You know those small-town cafes? They can't quite make it work. I remember sitting there as a young man asking my mom, can't you ever come into this restaurant and not talk about Jesus? I said that because I thought, you know, people, they almost want to turn around and run sometimes, because she didn't do it in a very confrontative way. She's like, oh, bubbly, like, oh, God is so good. And I'm like, you know, people don't always want to hear that. And she's like, how can I not talk about my greatest love? Now, at the time, it annoyed me. As a 48-year-old man that's now a grandpa, it impresses me. Because it got beyond my annoyed outside exterior into the very heart of hearts, and I recognized it was real. Call it what it is as far as humanity and perfections. My mom and dad aren't perfect, and you've met them. They've been here. They'll be here again. And don't tell stories on them and get me all in trouble. But they're not perfect people. But there's one thing that's always been true. I've never questioned it, nor have I ever questioned it from my grandparents. They love Jesus with their whole heart. There was those volatile times as a teenage boy when I was getting into that place of independence. We had our arguments, we had our fights, we had some terrible ones, but I never questioned the love of God in all of those things. And I wonder to myself, what would I have done if I could have pointed to a hypocrisy in the areas of love for God and I had every right to walk away, because obviously this isn't real, it's not real to them, I'm just going to give that all up and I'm walking my own. It could have happened. I was stubborn. I was the kind of guy that would do it. But when I got to those frustrating, aggravating moments of my hormone-filled body and all the experiences I was going through in life and wanting to be independent and do my thing, I realized every single time when it boiled down to the truth, God is real, He loves me, He died for me, I'm born again, I'm following Him no matter what. This is not a hoax. Why did I know this? Why did I believe this? Because I not only saw it in my own life, experienced it, but experiences can go up and down, amen? But I saw it in my family and I knew it was real. Because there's no way they could do what they just did unless it's real. And I could look at a church, a small little church in Daisy, North Dakota. It's It's literally the size of this block that includes the little park. I mean, it's so small. 80 people. You know, the one stop sign that was there got broken over my graduation year in 1988, and rather than get a new post, they just stuck the old one back in, and now it's about this tall. And we were just there last fall for Thanksgiving. We went to church for Thanksgiving. I drive up, and I'm like, oh, gotta get a picture of this. So I got a picture. Tina took my picture, right? Was it you that did that? So I'm standing there next to my stop sign. Now, it's interesting, the stop sign itself is actually new, but the post is still the same post. It's only this tall. We're so cheap, I don't know. But in that little church, the Holy Spirit moves. People get saved. They come to faith. Healings happen. But you want to know what the most powerful thing is? Children grow up in that church, and they go on to live for Jesus Christ. Very rare for someone to not follow through and walk in faith. Because not only did mom and dad, not only did grandpa and grandma, but so did all the undums, so did all, I could go down the list of all the Omdals, I could go down the list of all the different people that follow Jesus with their whole heart. A godly heritage is being passed from generation to generation to generation. I want to challenge you, teach and model what it means to be a part of the family of God. This is not just, I'm getting just a little ring on this one. If we can back that one treble, baby. Do not just leave the responsibility of teaching children what it means to be a follower of Christ. Don't just leave that to the Sunday school teachers. They have a great responsibility, and I'm thankful for it. But they need to make sure, the children need to see that when they come upstairs and they see the rest of the church worshiping and honoring and living for God, they need to know it's real because you are demonstrating it's real as a church, as a body of believers. You love one another. The disciples were like, how will they know if you actually sent us? How will the people know? And his response is, they'll know you are sent by me because of your love. We have so many differences. You are different than me. Aren't you thankful? I'm not that crazy guy. I would never do that. Wow. I grew up thinking the things I did were normal. And then I found out as I shared my stories that it's not normal. I didn't know. I thought I was a normal kid. You know, sticking head down badger holes, that's no big deal. Shooting arrows straight up in the air and wondering if it's going to come down straight and hit me on the top of the head, I thought that was normal. Everybody does that. Having wars with your brother and his best friend with BB guns shooting each other, I mean, that's normal. Then they came out with paintball. Man, what would that have been? Whew. Children want to see that what they hear is true because you actually live what you say you believe. And when they don't see it line up, they'll leave this church and never come back. We no longer live in a generation or a time when people will look at a one that has not truly followed through with what they say they believe. They will not look at them and say, well, that's hypocritical. They must not really believe. Now they look at the very bottom line. If they don't live it, it must not be true. That's the switch. Be aware. Young people in our community, they need to know that Jesus Christ really did die on a cross, rose again with the power to forgive them, and that he loves them with his whole heart. They need to know that. You can tell them that, and that's a good thing to do, but I hope you show it by how much you love. When you see someone that you think, well, there's a punk, wonder what he's up to. He's probably going to go destroy something. They know that. They know that's how you feel. Am I stepping on toes a little bit, maybe? Let's not judge them. Let's love them. Love them. God has chosen to share a covenant of love through you and generations after. He chose that from the very beginning. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy I remember when I was, I think maybe I shared this, I don't recall. I was a teenager, I was a senior in high school, getting close to graduation. There's a big party going on. I never went to parties, didn't have any desire. Like I said, I was stubborn. I made my mind up in fifth grade. Actually, it was third grade, the first time I was introduced to alcohol, and I had no idea what peppermint schnapps was. It sounded funny to me, so I asked them, what's that? And they said, well, that's alcohol, stupid. And they wanted me to go down to the boys' locker room during the basketball game and drink some peppermint schnapps. And so I told them no, and they called me funny names. Why not? And I said, because my mom and dad won't let me, and my church doesn't believe in it. That was my great, deep answer, right? So I made my mind up when I was third grade not to do that. And then, of course, it just got easier as time went. Fifth grade, that's when everybody was drinking, and then so on and so forth. And that's the history of a small school. But my stubbornness was pointed in the right direction. But as a senior, I decided, what is the big deal? What's the big hoopla? Why is everybody all excited about the big party? So I thought, I'm going to go to the party. And here's the person I am. Mom and Dad are sitting there. It's the evening. It's wintertime, almost spring. You know, it's just kind of in that in-between stage. And I go walking up to my mom and dad and said, I just wanted to let you guys know I'm going to go to a party tonight. And they just about fell over. They're like, what? And mom's like, you mean a drinking party? And I'm like, yeah. And dad's like, why would you want to do that? I said, I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't know why it's such a big deal. I'm just going to go check it out. And so I knew what my dad wanted to do. You are not leaving this house. You know, that's all of us dads said, amen. Come on. And mom, she's more like, oh, please don't go. Please don't go. You know, she wants to cry it out of me. And so, but they didn't. They refrained. And dad, I think it was the Holy Spirit, because dad says, well, you got to do what you got to do. And he allowed me to walk out that door, get in my vehicle, and take off. And so I'm driving. It took me 20, 25 minutes to get there. It was a ways away. And I pull up to this driveway, and I stopped the vehicle. I rolled the windows down. I shut it off. And I'm at the end of this mile-and-a-half-long driveway, and the house is in the distance. I could see the lights. I could hear people. And the music's just a boom, 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 boom. Ah, woo-hoo-hoo. They're having a good old time. And I'm sitting there, and I'm wondering, should I or shouldn't I? And I actually stopped to pray. And then I started to laugh. It was kind of weird. Here's this teenage 18-year-old boy sitting in his vehicle, laughing his head off all by himself, vehicle's sitting off, and I'm laughing. I don't want to go in there. What am I thinking? And I start the vehicle up, back out, and I go home. Now, here's the thing. I get to the house. I've been gone not even quite an hour, close to an hour. And I pull in the driveway, I shut the vehicle off, and I walk in the house, and apparently they didn't hear me come home, mom and dad. I come walking in the house, open the door, I stepped in, and they're like, ugh! And it's almost like I just caught them doing something terrible. I mean, they looked at me like, oh, he caught us. And I mean, here's my dad sitting in the same place I left him with tear streaks down his face. Mom is over on the chair, tears going down her face. And they're kind of like trying to hide it real quick. Well, what are you doing home already? And I'm like, well, I just got there and I realized I didn't want to be there. So I came home. And here they've been praying the entire time. I believe it was their prayers that kept me from doing something that could have been tragic. Because I was vulnerable that day. The enemy got his toe right where he wanted it. The foothold was starting to take. But something broke that day. Something made me stop and shut off the ignition after I rolled down the window so that I could hear what was going on. Something in my spirit said, don't do that. You don't want to be there. And I drove away, and I believe that's one of the most powerful moments I've ever experienced in my life. My mom and dad aren't perfect. But their faith is real. And what they did is they passed on to the next generation a love for God. not because of words and deeds, but because it went so much deeper than that. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 9, it says, "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of the people on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because of the Lord, it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands." You are a chosen people by God's will. He's chosen you to be his family, and he has promised that the love you have for him and the love he has for you can be passed to the next generation, to a thousand generations. How powerful is that? To realize the blessings of God. I remember at one time when I was a teenager, my grandma got up in front of the church and she just asked the pastor, "Can I speak?" And the pastor, I just always felt bad for the pastor. He's like, "Oh, I don't know if I should. You know, if I give her the mic, you know." And grandma was just a wonderful person. She loved God. She gets up there and she just starts to cry and she goes, "God gave me a vision of multitudes and multitudes of people that are scattered out as far as the eye could see. And I was in heaven, and the Lord was there with me, and an angel stood next to me, and the angel asked me who the people are." And grandma, as she's sharing this vision, said, "I have no idea who those people are." And the angel said, it was either the angel or the Lord said, "This is all the people that are going to be touched by your family through generation after generation." I can't tell you how many people in the family that God started with my grandparents have now been ministering and working to see the kingdom of God grow as the lives of the lost souls are found and saved. Because it started with a young couple that were going to a dance and got sidetracked by the tent meeting that was happening. They were curious, "What's that all about?" And got radically saved. Generation after generation after generation. But it begins with you. It begins with us. Because the honest truth of the matter is, I had to have a first chair experience of salvation. I'm not saved because my grandparents are saved. I'm not saved because my parents are saved. I'm saved because I got saved. I needed a Savior. I needed to be born again. I couldn't live off the shirt tails of my parents. I couldn't live off the shirt tails of my grandparents. I had to have my own experience of salvation. And every child in this house has to have their own experience of salvation. It's our responsibility to show them what it's all about. It's our responsibility to teach them what it's all about. And it's our responsibility to demonstrate what it's all about so that when they come to an age where they understand, "I need to be born again," they will want to, because they want to be like you. They want to love God the way you love God. We need to see the generations blessed by our faithfulness. I've got so many other verses that talk about the generational blessings. Through Abraham, when the promise was given, that then, of course, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the seed would bring the blessings. And we know that the seed is Christ. He sacrificed once and for all. And we are seeing the generations of families blessed through the ministries of churches, because that's one of the ways God chooses to reach the lost. They're the very lost children in our own home that need to know Jesus personally. They're the lost children in our neighborhood that we need to find a way to reach. This is a big town. To me, it's huge. And there's so many young people that don't know anything about God. What can we do? How can we find the right key to reaching this community? It should be our heart's desire. Some of you have a ministry to children. You got gifts that I don't have. I'm praying that an army of ministers to children will rise in this church. We've got young people that come to youth group that don't know anything. Breaks my heart. I want to give a good lesson using a Bible story, and they're like, I don't know who that is. So I have to actually teach the story before I could teach the lesson from the story. It's like, wow. There is such a crop out there that needs to know Jesus. Let's pray that we can reach this next generation. Turn with me to Philippians 1, and then we're going to wrap up our lesson today. Philippians chapter 1. This is just an encouragement for our young people and all of us, really. The covenant of love for generations is there, but we're still a work in progress. God will complete his work in you, and that's what I want to end on. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. For our young people, for our graduate, for our children, I want to make that promise. God will complete the work he began in you. I don't care if you're 4 years old when you ask Jesus into your heart, like one of our kids was, or missionary friends that I know, or if you are 54 years old, God will complete the work he began. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12 through 14. Chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. This is Paul speaking. He's like, I'm not quite there. A man who was used by God to write more books of the Bible than any other man is saying, I haven't quite got it done yet. I still got some work to do. He says, I'm not yet perfected. I'm not completed. But I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on. God's not finished with you yet. You know how I know that? You're still here. When he's finished, you're up there. That's it. Or the rapture, which I'm looking forward to. How many are looking forward to the rapture? Isn't that going to be a fun day? I mean, we're going to be like, woohoo! Up we go. I've always wanted to fly, just like Superman. I know I've shared this too many times, but I had a dream that was so real, and I must have been learning how to swim at the time, because in my dream, I was dog paddling in the air. Yeah. I mean, it was like, ooh, and I was like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I was rising up nice and slow, and it was kind of slow moving. And as I got going, pretty soon all of a sudden I was like, and I put the arms out, and I got faster. But here's the funny part of the story. I don't usually tell this part. There's an old telephone pole that used to be in the middle of our yard, which we took down when I was about 8. But anyway, the telephone pole is there, and I'm flying around, and my brother comes out with a shotgun. And he's, boom, boom! And he's trying to shoot me. It's me! It's me! Don't shoot! You know. I don't know what the meaning of that was. But I was flying, and I knew I could fly. I woke up. I must have got scared by the shotgun. I woke up, and I literally stood on my bed at the very edge, and I'm looking at the ground, and I'm thinking, okay, how did that work? Because that's how I started before. I jump, and I go, and I was like, this is going to work. And I'm like, okay, one, two. No, come on. This got to work. One, two. And I almost jumped. And right when I was just going to go, something said, that's not going to work. It would have been a horrible knee cruncher. Kaboom! I'll probably have to put that one in the paper someday. But the thing is, I'm still here. God says, you got some work to do. You're not like me the way you should be. You've got some growing up. You got some stretching. I'm not finished with you. Come on. You can do that better. You can stretch yourself more for me. You can give more for me. We're all here. God's not finished with us yet. Would you stand with me as we close?